this. I cannot explain everything that God does and why He does it. If somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I can give you all the answers of why things take place and how come they happen, you run away from them because they're lying. There's nobody that understands everything except for God Almighty Himself. And so this morning, I want to start out by giving you some scripture that you can hold on to. And then we're going to go back and look at a little community. A little community that experienced some devastating events out of the blue. And we're still trying to understand it even to this day. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 18. We'll start there. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. Now, this is probably the most unusual Christmas message that you've ever heard in your lives. And like I said in my prayer, God and I didn't fight with Him. I didn't try to oppose Him, but I've been asking Him all week long, God, why this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at? Why? And I still don't understand why, but I know God has a purpose in what He does. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. I want you to hold on to this passage. We're going to read it together. I'm going to make a few minute little comments, and then we're going to go to our main passage. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How many of you recognize that the sufferings of this present time are not good at times? But guess what? They're nothing compared to the glory that we're going to have one day in heaven. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that's us, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We see it everywhere. We see the world and we see everything that's taking place and we see it and we hear it. Everybody is hurting. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. When I asked Bob, I said, Bob, how are you? He says, I'm rejoicing because Doris is no longer hurting. See, he'd been taking care of her and all the different physical aspects for the last 2 to 3 years of things that she was going through. And I said, Bob, I'm sorry. And he says, I'm not sorry because she ain't hurting no more. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do the patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever been there? You didn't know how to pray? Have you ever been there where you just said, God, help me? And it's like the Holy Spirit just prays for you and shares your anguish and everything that's going on inside of you. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We ought not to be praying to be delivered from the wickedness of this world. We ought to be praying for God's will to be done in this world. If you're wanting a life that is free of pain and suffering and anguish, you're wanting a life that's just easy, you're wanting a life that has no issues, that is not the walk with Christ. Well, thank you, Mr. Sunshine. Now, I'm not saying we need to be suffering all the time and, oh, woe is me, I'm so miserable. Absolutely not. But brothers and sisters, Jesus suffered, and he promised all that live godly will suffer persecution. He said those things. So don't expect every day to be roses and gardens and sunshine, because it's not. But look at this. And we know, underline that, circle that phraseology, we know, we have a firm conviction, we have no doubt in our minds, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. If you love God, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, put your name right there, because he's talking about you and me. That's what he's talking about here. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know it. That is a firm foundation belief. I cannot explain to you why the issues of life that come about every day happen. I can't explain to you the child molesters. I can't explain to you the rapists. I can't explain to you all the filthiness and the nastiness. I can't explain it to you. I cannot give you a good reason for it. But I do know this, that my God is still God. And he will bring good to those that love him. That's what it says. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is his desire for us, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Brothers and sisters, I do not understand anything but this. God said that he will work together for good to those who are the ones that love him. Not those who don't love him, but those who love him. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you love God? Are you trusting Jesus Christ for salvation? If you are, this is indeed a promise to you. Because there's going to come times in life. It may not be today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, but there's going to come a time when you've got to hold on to something. It don't make sense. That's why I'm scared this morning. Not scared necessarily, but I don't understand why he's wanting me to preach this. We've got to hold on to something and say, okay, God, I don't see it, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust you. Because many of you have been through it. Some of you have lost everything in a fire. Some of you have had a loved one that just ran all over you and took everything you had. Some of you have had somebody leave you and make fun of you and hurt you. Some of you have been abused, misused. Some of you have been abandoned. Some of you have just been destroyed. Some of you are just saying, I don't understand. But may I tell you, you belong to God. God understands, and he's the one's going to get you through. Now, here's to the most unusual part of the story. What about if you didn't expect death to come, but it came anyway? Is God still God? Go to Matthew chapter number 2 this morning. Now remember, if you love God, the promise is to you. It doesn't mean that you're going to understand it. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be hunky-dory and puppies and smiles and flowers. But it does mean that God's going to be glorified through it somehow, some way. Matthew chapter number 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wicked, ungodly man, he killed his own wife, his sons, his parents, her parents, He was a death monger, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are coming to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, all his scribes and all his chief priests, they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. All right, in Micah 5:2, it's prophesied that the new king, the King of Kings, is going to be born in Bethlehem. And they've been expecting it to happen. They've been waiting for it to happen. And Herod has some wise men come to him, these kings, these magi, these soothsayers, these stargazers. They come to him wanting to worship this king. Herod freaks out and says, wait a minute, I didn't know about this. Hey guys, come and tell me about this. And thou, Bethlehem, talking about Micah, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not among the least the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, those who were seeking him, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. When he heard that the king was going to be born in Bethlehem, he started panicking. And he called them together and says, hey, listen, I need you to tell me, when was this going to happen? When was this going to take place? Please help me. And he sent them to Bethlehem and he said, I want you to go and I want you to search diligently for this young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. What a snake. Does he want to worship this king? Absolutely not. He wants to kill this king. See, because Herod, in his mindset, anybody else that was going to be a king was going to be a threat to him and wanted to destroy it and cut it off before it took. He wanted to do like Barney Fife and nip it in the bud. That's what King Herod wanted to do. So he says, fellas, you go worship him, and when you're done worship him, you come back to me, you tell me where you found him, and then I am going to go and worship him. Now, these wise men, these kings, they have no idea what's in Herod's mind. They don't know who he is. So they're thinking to themselves, okay, well, we're going to go worship him, we're going to give him our gifts, and then we'll come back and tell the king, and then we're going to go home. Everything's going to be just fine and dandy. And King Herod thinks he's got them fooled. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Underline that, says being warned of God. Herod thinks he's got it all figured out. Herod thinks that, hey, I'm going to take care of this in my own manner, and I'm going to deal with it the way I want to deal with it, but God God is over controlling of everything. There's nothing that takes place that God doesn't have full, complete control of. Now, did these kings understand that Herod wanted to kill the babies? No. They don't understand that. They just simply saying, hey, he's going to want to come worship him. But God knows the truth. I don't know what you're dealing with right now. You may be being slandered. You may be being made fun of. You may be being ostracized. You may be having all kinds of issues of life. And you're wondering, does God even know and care? May I tell you, God is very well aware of what's happening. Nothing catches God by surprise. And if you know Him, if He is your Savior, He knows, He cares, and He's going to take it and bring Himself glory somehow, some way, through it. You can count on that because that's what His Word clearly teaches. I don't understand it. I can't explain it to you. But I do know God knows, and He'll take care of it. Now, it gets worse. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And this is what that angel said to Joseph. Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Mary and Joseph had no idea what was taking place. They just knew they were in Bethlehem, and this is probably taken 2, maybe 3 years after Jesus was born. This didn't happen on the same night with the shepherds, and so there were not three kings of Ori. No, there was none of that going on. I know you don't want me to spoil your Christmas traditions, but there weren't three kings, and they didn't come and present these gifts to Jesus on the same night the shepherds were there. But that's a whole other sermon, okay? So Mary and Joseph, they've got these gifts now that the Magi have brought to them. And they don't understand it all. And so Mary and Joseph are probably thinking, wow, look what we got. Because frankincense and myrrh and gold has some pretty expensive stuff. And so there they are. And they're thinking, wow, what's going on here? And an angel of the Lord, a messenger from God, says, Joseph, y'all get up and get to Egypt. Because guess what? King Herod wants to destroy this child that you have. And I'm thinking, Mary and Joseph are thinking, wait a minute, we're just settled in with our family here in Bethlehem. We've got comfortable arrangements and we're living where we ought to live. And now, God, you're telling us to leave? God says, I know what's happening. Just trust me. Now look at me for a minute, please. You may be in a situation right now that you don't understand. It may be a health situation that you're dealing with. It may be a loved one or friend who's dealing with issues of life that you don't understand. It may be a loved one who has strayed. It may be any myriad of things. May I tell you, you don't understand, but God does understand. It's not caught Him by surprise. It hurts, I know. Oh, it hurts. And it makes you cry out and wonder what's going on. May I tell you, God's not turning a deaf ear to you. Because remember, I read it in Romans, what is God's ultimate goal with these things in our life? That we can be happy and have millions of dollars and thousands of followers on TikTok and Facebook? Is God's goal for us to be successful and everybody know our name? No. You know what God's will for us is? To be conformed to the image of His Son. So He says, Mary and Joseph, y'all get out of town. The king wants to kill the child that you have. Y'all leave. What does Joseph do? Well, God, I've got this lease. And I've got this car, and I've got this house, and I've got all these different things. God, I can't leave right now. Maybe we can do it later on. Some of y'all would do that, though. Some of all you would say to God, well, God, I just purchased this machinery. Or, God, I just got my kids into the best school. God, no! When God tells you to do something, there's a reason for it. Look what He says. Verse number 14, and he, Joseph, he arose and he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed unto Egypt. That very night he woke up, he got Mary, he got the baby, the child, he got them gathered up, they got on whatever means of transportation they had, and they got out of town. Oh, by the way, what financed their trip? The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Was it just happenstance that God provided what they needed for this trip just accidentally. See, Mary and Joseph didn't expect these fellows to bring this stuff to them. They didn't post a thing on Facebook and saying, we need a GoFundMe page. But God knew what they needed before it happened. The finances were there. The angel said, God is here. Y'all get out of town and here's the money to do it with. Does your God work that way? And he arose, took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And they were there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. See, everything that takes place, God has a purpose for. God has a purpose in everything that takes place with his children. God has a purpose. Nothing happens by accident in God. Not a thing. When you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, are you telling me that God is purposely aborting these babies? Are you telling me, God, or that Brian, that God is purposely doing this and doing that? I did not say God is the one bringing harm and destruction and death. I'm saying God has a purpose in taking those events and using it for his honor and his glory somehow, some way. Man's free will still plays in here somehow, some way. I can't explain it, but I'm trusting that God knows about it. Amen? And then Herod, verse 16, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, when he found out that they weren't coming back, he got mad. And he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had diligently inquired of the wise men. That's where I had the problem with God. Sweet little Christmas story. The wise men bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh, and God taking care of Mary and Joseph, and they escaped out to Egypt. But then you come across this verse where Herod kills in that small community, 2 years old and younger, slaughtered that day. I don't understand it. Can you imagine being the parents and the grandparents? Slamming the door open, coming in and taking the child out of the screaming arms of the mother and killing it. I said, God, I don't understand. To me, it don't seem right. To me, God, why in the world would you let that happen? That's where understanding that God allows man's free will to operate, I just cannot put it together. See, that's why I'm saying this is probably the most unusual Christmas message you've ever heard. Because sometimes people are just evil and wicked. Sometimes people just do things that we do not understand. Sometimes people are just evil. I can't explain to you a child abuse. I can't explain to you spouse abuse. I can't explain to you abortion. I can't explain to you serial murderers. I can't explain to you what took place in Idaho. I can't explain to you any of these things. I can't. But I do know this. My God, who I'm trusting in for salvation, is going to take the events of my life and the events of your life, and he's going to work them for his honor and his glory to form us into the image of his Son somehow, some way. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you would agree with me? Sometimes life hurts. Sometimes it's just like, God, I've had enough. Some of you have been there. Enough's enough, God. But brothers and sisters, as I read in Romans chapter number 8, the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory we're going to have one day in His presence. I got to hold on to that. Because there's times I just want to cry. There's times I just want to give up. And I just want to say, God, I'm done. Come get me. At the bedside of someone who's suffering with cancer, or at the bedside of somebody who's got dementia, or dealing with a family that's broken because of drug abuse, or dealing with whatever's going on, sometimes I just say, God, why? And then the Holy Spirit brings me back and says, why not? See, that's what I'm saying. That's an unusual Christmas message. I'm supposed to be talking about tinsel and trees and glory. Well, what better gift than knowing God's in control and He's got it all handled can I give you? I don't understand it. And I don't know what my future holds in events taking place. But I do know this. My God does. And I love Him. And I trust Him. And I'm going to let Him be God. That song that Lily sang this morning, I surrender. I surrender. Now, what purpose, and I still don't understand it, maybe you can figure it out and tell me, what purpose of killing all these poor innocent children in Bethlehem, what purpose did that serve? What purpose does it having abortion every day, killing thousands of children, innocent children in the wombs? What purpose is it of having parents abuse their children and burn them and bury them and cut their heads off? It keeps coming back to me. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. So if I can explain it to you, I would. But I can't. I just got to trust that God is who He says it is. And He's going to do what He says He's going to do for His purpose and His honor and His glory. If I could explain God to you, then He wouldn't be worth serving. I know some of you are struggling. I'm sorry. I know some of you are hurting. I'm sorry. But can I tell you this? God knows. He loves you. Don't give up. You're not in this by yourself. You've got people around you that love you. But you've got a God who knows all and can do all. Don't give up. There's nothing God can't forgive, and there's nothing God can't fix. His way. I'm going to close with this. I love going to yard sales. How many of you love going to yard sales? I know some of you spend 24 hours a day going to yard sales. That's okay. I love it. If you ask my wife, I've got a hoarding problem, but that's a whole other issue. In Tennessee, in Madison, Tennessee, Melissa and I were teaching school, coaching and teaching and enjoying life. We've been wanting to have children, but we hadn't had any children yet. And I came across this clock. Stands about that tall. cheap little clock. But the saying on it just riveted me. And it said this: God's timing is perfect. Every morning, I go into the bathroom. It's still there. We have it. God's timing is perfect. I don't understand. But He does. There's hope. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it figured out. He's perfect. He knows. And He promised to make it work for good somehow, some way. But what about... He'll do it. He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's God's promise. Hang on to that. That's the best Christmas present I can give you today. God's promises never fail. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Now please, I am not in any way, shape, or form trying to explain to you away all the pain and hurt that you may be dealing with or you have dealt with. But may I tell you this: God cares, He's in control, and He simply says, I want you to surrender to Me. As the invitation starts, may I offer this to you. Drop your arms and surrender and say, God, I can't do it no more. I give up. You take over. Because God, I need You. I need You. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. One simple question today. How many of you, or maybe someone you know, is dealing with an issue of life and it just, you don't see a way? How many of you can be honest this morning and say that this morning? Either you or someone you know. Hands all over the place. Mine's up too. How about let's surrender to the Lord today and ask Him to help us? And then how about asking Him to show us and then doing what He tells us to do? It may mean finding somebody to walk with you. It may mean someone you got to go and talk to, confess things to. Maybe finding somewhere to get real help. God doesn't intend you to do it on your own. God, You know our hearts and our needs this morning. I don't understand the way things go and the way people do and what they do and why they do it. The broken hearts that may be in this room right now because of self-indulgence or because of somebody else's deeds. But God, I know You do and You understand, and You will heal and You will bring what needs to be done. We have hope in You. So God, may You strengthen, heal, give direction, wisdom, guidance in whatever issues of life there are. Because God, I cannot do it. And we can't do it on our own. We've got to have You. We're going to count on Your word today. In Christ's name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you have a need this morning and you want to come, come on up. I'll meet you and pray if you want. I'll let you pray by yourself if you want. But drop your hands and surrender today. Surrender to Him. Let Him make the way today. Won't you come? Won't you come?